anyways, it's always good to have family. God is so good. And, you know, I thank God for everything that He's doing. I want you to know that God is working. I want you to know that He's moving. I want you to know that when you feel like nothing's going on and you're just sitting at a standstill, I want to tell you that God is always working. He's always moving on your behalf. He knows exactly what you need. He knows how to give it to you. And so y'all stretch your hands to Sister Cindy here. We're going to pray. She's going to have a surgery tomorrow. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I lift this one up to you right now. God, I call in that healing right now in Jesus' name from the north and the east and the south and the west. Lord, I ask right now that you would guide that physician's hand, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you right now, Lord, that this body walks in divine health. God, that you've restored, God, what the locust has tried to eat up. And Lord, I thank you for it right now. And I speak peace to this mind right now. Mind, you're not going to have anxiety about this. You're going to be at perfect peace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm happy to be here this morning. Are you happy to be in His house? Well, good. I am so happy to be here. There's lots of people that are out, but we're not concerned about the ones that's not here at this very moment. God knows exactly where they're at. But the Word of God does tell us to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If God's given you health, if He's given you strength, I'm going to ask you to stand. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single person, God, that's in your house. Lord, I lift up every person right now. God, you know exactly the ones, Lord, that's supposed to be here. God, the ones that they're battling addiction right now, God, and they've gotten back into that addiction. God, I thank you right now, God, that you're creating circumstances. Lord, you're allowing circumstances. God, you're bringing things to a head. God, I thank you that people learn, God, how to put you first. Lord, in Jesus' name, for the children, the grown children that these parents in here, God, they're concerned about them. Lord, I ask you right now, God, to draw them back. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to allow some things to go on in their life, Lord, that would draw them to you. God, I ask that you'd stir the hearts of people. God, their heart has grown cold. God, I ask that you'd stir it up right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every backslidden person, God, they've not put you first. Lord, I lift them up to you right now. God, and I just tell you, Lord, have your will in them. Lord, draw them back. God, every person that you want to add to this place, God, draw them here, Lord. God, in your word, you said you needed a binder and you said you needed a looser. And right now, I just bind up that spirit of depression that wants to rest on these people. God, the racing thoughts, Lord, the overwhelming thoughts, Lord, the feeling of loneliness, I'm calling you out this morning and I'm telling you to go. People in here have been feeling lonely, and I want to tell you right now that God is here for you. He's not left you alone. God, I thank you for families being restored in this place. God, what the enemy meant to harm your children, God, I thank you that you've come in. God, not only have you come in, but you've come in like a flood, God, and you've raised a standard. God, I thank you for that standard right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this one right here. God, I thank you for your divine will. God, your divine purpose. Lord, I thank you for favor, God, like she's never seen before. Lord, I thank you, God, that you've given her a wisdom, Lord, that she's not had before. God, I ask that you'd take this heart, God, and make it a heart of flesh. Lord, give her a tender heart. Let her feel you, God, like she's never felt you before. God, I thank you for restoration, God, and a renewing right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. I want to minister this morning about something that God has been ministering to me about. Most of these messages are coming out of the overflow of my life. Why are they coming out of the overflow? Because that's what I know. You can't preach about things that you don't know about. You can try to, and it won't work out so well. So let's go to John chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And God has been ministering me about how to be willing to do His will. So many say, God, what is your will? When the truth be told that if God told you His will, if He revealed it to you, many people would not do it even if they knew it clear as day. Why? Because many times God's will is going to put you in places that are uncomfortable. God's will will put you in places where you have to make a change. God's will will put you in places where you say, no, God, I don't want to do that. God ever told you to do something you didn't want to do? Amen. Let's keep it real. God ain't calling people to do only the easy things. He's calling people to roll their sleeves up and get in the thick of what they believe they cannot do. Why? Because He shows up in that place. Many people say, God, I can't do that. God, I can't. God, I can't. Truth be told, you probably cannot. But He can. But He can. And He will. You need to leave the choice to Him. Many people say, no, I can't do that, and you don't even try. You need to get up in there and say, God, if you brought me to it, God, you'll bring me through it. God, you'll equip me. God, in the places where I can't, God, you're going to make me well able. It's all about your perspective. How are you looking at that? And it says here in John chapter 1, or chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and His disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to Him, they have no more wine. Well, there went all the booze. Uh-oh. There it all went. Well, people don't like to have them parties without that booze. Jesus' mama's saying, now, son, I just want to make you aware, all that wine is gone. They drunk it all. We still got lots of party left and no wine. And so he said, dear woman, why do you involve me? You ever felt like that? Oh. You ever heard somebody's problem? You think, I don't want to hear that. Why are you getting me involved? He's sitting there going, Mama, why is that my problem? But look here, you got to respect your mama. Amen? And he said, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And you have to know when it's time to do some things. Many people, it's not that God is saying no. He's just saying not yet. Many people, they're mad at God because they feel like God's telling them no, and He ain't telling them no, but He's just saying it's not time yet. You got to know your time because there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. You got to know what time it is. You got to know what time it is. You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them, when to completely walk away. There's people, they done walked away when they should have still been holding them. There's people, they still holding them when they should have walked away. You got to learn how to hear God's voice. Why? Because it says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger, they are not going to follow. Amen. You either His sheep, and you're turning your ear to where you can hear Him, or you happy just doing you in this minute. Lots of people, they happy just doing their own thing. That's why they ain't here. So it says here, His mother, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. see, he knew what time it was. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. I caught myself so many times this week doing little things, Vicki, and I said, God, why am I doing this? This seems little, and it seems irrelevant, and it seems piddly, and it's not important to me. I want to tell you something. Whatever he tells you to do, you need to do it. Why? Because it's not all about you. God may call you to do something that you think is small, but to somebody else, it's big. We're living in a world where people's only concerned about their self. Me, 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 me. Look here. That ain't going to cut it. If you can fashion your life and say, God, what would you have me to do? God, nothing is too small. What is it? I found myself this week, and, you know, I try to get out in the community and help the community. I try to help in any which way I can. I try to filter the things that God's saying, yes, I want you to do, and no, you need to rest in that day. Well, I substituted all day. I know that's a hard vision, but I substituted all day one day. And as you know, our church has been getting food for quite some time now. Your pastor goes and gets it every week. I get them boxes, lift them myself, load them myself, and then I'm blessed when people can meet me at the church and go with me and help me. It ain't always that way. But I felt like I should substitute that day. And so I said, Lord, this will probably be the day that we get called for that food, and I'm at peace with us just not getting it this week because I feel like you want me at this school. Well, I read the Lorax 5 times. God, why would you have me read that book 5 times? I don't even like to read. 5 times. The little bitty kids. But there was a part in that book where it started talking about the Lorax and about the Onceler. And it got to that point and it said, and the Onceler's heart, it was filled with joy. Hallelujah. And I read it over and over and over. And every time I came to that place in each class, God was saying, Kelly, I want the heart of yours to be filled with joy. Amen. Why? Because the devil will try to snuff out any little bit of joy that you got. Right. Right. And so I was just sitting there, and I was so relieved when that day ended. Because I thought, oh, praise the Lord. I'm tired of hearing my own voice. It's like a 35-minute book. Long for somebody who don't like to read books. And right in that moment, when the last bell had rung, I get a phone call. We never do this, but we're coming to you with that food. Now let me tell you something. God has a will for you if you're willing to do it. He has a will for you if you're willing to do it. Most people are not willing to just do whatever he says to do. Amen. What I'm asking you today, are you willing or are you unwilling? Only you know. And I thought, well, that's strange. God, I know this must be your will because it's just how this day has gone. Well, then, Mama Brenda, we proceeded to mess with this food, and I was here till about 7 o'clock with it. And on my way home, here I am driving. I feel like all my hairs on my head are standing straight up because I've had too much Onceler, I've had too much Lorax, and I've had too much food, and I'm tired. And when I get tired, I get cranky. When I get tired and cranky, Pastor Jeremy's going to get cranky. That's how that works. Because cranky Kelly's terrible. On my way home, there was a car on the side of the road. I knew exactly whose it was. God said, I want you to stop, and I want you to go in that building, and I want you to tell that person they can come to your church and they can have whatever they want and how much of it they want. My God, you pushing it today. Did you miss that part where I've been with little children all day? Did you miss that part where I had to read that book all day? Did you miss that part where I done worked another shift at the church messing with the food? Now you wanting me to be hospitable. That's pushing it. But I've learned just how miserable life can be when you won't just do what he said to do. For every time you won't do what he tells you to do, probably somebody else is going to suffer. You're going to suffer, but probably somebody else is going to suffer too. We have to turn that natural flesh person into somebody who cares about other people enough to do the thing that God told them to do. So I went up in there. I said, hello. I would just like you to know you can come to Paris Christian Center. We just got a bunch of food. You come get however much of it that you need. And in the back of my head, I'm saying, God, this person don't need no food. I know who they are. They ain't without. God don't care what you think that you know. So we get up in here. I let the person in. Pastor Jeremy, I don't even know. He's got like some weird thing. We've been married almost 12 years and he just knows where I'm at. I don't know if it's ESP or what. It's kind of freaky. Anyways, so here this person is in this building. He's getting his stuff. And I did not think nothing about it. I just knew, God, please don't keep me up till 12 o'clock doing this. I'm just going to do what you say. But, Lord, I am tired. I would like to be with my children at some point today, Lord. It's 7 o'clock. And Crystal, I went up in my house and I propped my feet up like a big girl. And then my phone started ringing. Text, 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 text. And this person said, I want you to know I've had so much against me this week. I just came in my house and I sat down and I just sobbed over an empty fridge and bills I cannot pay. When you hear what God is telling you to do, you need to realize on the other thing, on the other side, there's somebody that's praying, God come through. God come through. You know how many times I've wanted to really pull a shenanigan? Almost every day. Multiple times in the day. What keeps me from it, honestly? Well, sometimes I just go ahead and give in and do them. But on my better days, what keeps me from it, Crystal, is I realize that somebody's counting on me. It's not all about me. There are times I don't feel like doing things and I push myself to do them because I realize somebody may suffer when I don't. And I'm praying to God that the people that God puts in my life that are going to help me, I pray that they hear his voice. And I pray that they'll do what they know that they're supposed to do. Why? Because, see, it's not all about us. It's a bigger picture. You're a part of a bigger picture. And so his mother said to the servants, you do whatever he tells you to do. And I want to tell you today, whatever God's telling you to do, you need to act on it. There's people and they're procrastinating. They're saying, no, I'll do that tomorrow. Look here, tomorrow isn't promised to anybody. What he's told you to do in this day, you best do it in this day. Your life is counting on it. somebody else's life is counting on it, and you make a very big difference. The devil will get in your head and make you think, no, I'm not going to do that. It's small and it's little and it's silly and I'm not going to do it. It's not going to make any difference if I do it or not do it. Yeah, it is. It's the little things that'll make such a big difference. And it says, nearby stood six stone water jars in the kind that the Jews used for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Look here. Jesus ain't no cheapo. He said, yeah, you turn. You fill that to the brim. You know how many times I've said, God, I cannot give anymore. I'm empty. If you'll pour yourself out, God will fill you to the very brim of who you are. He'll fill you to the very brim of what you think you cannot do. Somebody needs to really get into this. Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. It was expensive. God says that you're worth it, but you best suit up and show up. Because, see, there's people. God wants to use you. And then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And they did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from. If you'll just do what God told you to do, God's going to bring some blessings down. He's going to bring some things down, and you're going to say, now, God, that could have only come from you. It could have only come from you. That day, Brother Mike, I was so humbled because I said, now, God, if I had went off of my own natural ability, I would not have done that. But, God, you made the difference. God wants to bring some things down. People I never even thought they could be good enough to have. Because we made some mistakes. You know what? Everybody's made some mistakes. You see them people and you think, oh, they've never done nothing wrong. I wish I had their life. Don't ever wish to have somebody else's life. You be comfortable having your own life. You be comfortable in your own skin. Because nobody's just as happy and perfect as they appear. I tell you that. And so then he called the bridegroom aside and he said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after. The guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. And I want to tell you something. God has saved the best thing for you right here, right now, in this moment. And he needs people to tap into who he is because there's some things that he says, you know what? Now, naturally, these things could not happen. But if you'll do what I called you to do, if you'll go where I told you to go, if you'll say what I told you to say, God's telling me, Kelly, I want you to talk to this person. I'm going, no, I'm going to offend them. No, you talk to them anyways. Look here. Do what God's told you to do. Be willing to do his will. Be willing to do his will. Why? Because it's going to turn out so good for you. It's going to turn out good. God doesn't have any bad plans for you or bad intentions. And this was the first of his miraculous signs. And Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee, and he thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. See, when he did that, that caused everybody around to realize what happened, to realize who did it. And they put their faith in something else besides their own ability. They said, now we're out. Jesus said, it's okay when you're out. Fill it to the brim. Some things are going to happen supernaturally. It does not matter what natural man says can happen. You know ain't none of you normal. Okay? Can we keep it real? I'm the most abnormal one of you. That's why I can say this. Stop saying, God, that could never happen for me. No. Something better could happen for you. If you'll trust Him, if you'll put your faith in Him, if you'll do the things that He told you to do, and He's going to make sure. Doesn't it seem like when you have a life problem, you got all your critics, and they've all come out, and they got in their lawn chairs, and they started eating that popcorn and looking at your life that you got screwed up? You got your biggest critics, it seems like, when you're having a catastrophe. Guess what? That's when glory gets to come in. Okay, we got a life problem. I'm going to come up into that. We're going to show everybody. See, what the devil had orchestrated, God will come in and He'll make something out of it we never thought He could. He'll turn our mess into a miracle. He'll put things, He'll take some things out. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes when that thing gets taken out, we're in pain because we don't like it. God will never take something from you that He won't put back. But tyranny, it'll be right. It'll be right. We're so afraid to give up the things that we've grown accustomed to because we're used to them. God's saying, if you'll give that to me and you'll let me have it and you'll let me take it up out of you, I'm going to put something in there that should have been in there. He's not taking from you. He's giving you the thing that you were always supposed to have. The thing where the devil tried to get up in there and put something raunchy up in there. Yeah? Raunchy. We all know what that is. Okay? Matthew chapter 7. So what we're learning is we're going to be willing to do His will. Matthew 7 verse 21 through 23. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be lots of people on that day, Van, and they're going to think they're getting in and they ain't. We're just going to tell it like it is. Lots of church attenders. Lots of everybody. And they're thinking they're going to skip on by doing the bare necessities. Look here. That's right, Lucas. God's in it to win it. He's in it for the whole thing. How many of y'all glad to see little Lucas? God, I thank You right now in Jesus' name. Lord, You got Your hand on everything. And God, we just thank You for what You've already done. God, I thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. But see, You ain't going to skid by just doing the bare minimum. God's in it for your life. Why? Because His Son gave you His as a sacrifice. Says Jesus looked and He said, my God, why have You forsaken me? Because God had to. It was the only way. And so it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only, everybody say only. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only. Only, only. A lot of people think, well, I'm a good person. Yes, you are. It takes more than that. You got to do His will. You got to do His will on the days you feel like doing your will. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name, and Your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew You. See, you can do all this stuff that you want to do. Anybody can do stuff. I can go nab somebody off the street and say, hey, come over here and help me do this grocery thing. And I could get some takers probably. do you know him? Do you know him? There's a difference. You can do things, but you can get to a place where you know who he is, and he knows who you are. Because see, this is describing that day. He's saying that day. That's called Judgment Day. And he's saying on that day, there's going to be lots of folks and they're going to say, God, we did all this stuff. And you know what? That's all it was stuff. But if you've done his will, he's going to say, you know what? I know you. Get up on in here. Get by the sweet tea fountain that I made for you. Be happy. This is heaven. See, only the people that's done his will, And then I will plainly tell them, I never knew you, and away from me, you evildoers. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And it says here in verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do you know how many times that the Word of God talks about your body as being a living sacrifice of who He is? He said, look here, everybody, if you ain't married, don't you be doing things that married people need to be doing. Yeah, I'm going to get on that soapbox. Why? Because, see, the church should not have things that are going out in the world happening in the church, but that's how it is. People need to say, God, this is your vessel. God, I'm not going to dirty it up. Now we're going to talk about some other things. Because see, everybody wants to say, well, oh, here's what I've learned about 35 years of being in the ministry. Everybody likes to talk about the obvious things that people do. Oh, well, that person, I know they're doing this. For everything that's so obvious of what other people are doing, there's a lot of things that nobody knows that other people's doing. That's what I've learned. And so it says, do not conform, or actually, they need to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do you know that the world that we're living in, it has a pattern? It has a pattern. You ever meet somebody and you think every time they come around full circle, they do the exact same thing? You ever been one of them people? You think every time I get to this place, for whatever reason, there's that pattern there. That pattern is what's causing you to fail. Because we keep doing the same thing and we keep expecting it to turn out differently. Let me tell you something. The only thing that you can do in a situation like that is, number one, admit you don't know the very best thing for your life. God, I don't know. I keep getting in this mud hole. God, I don't like being in a mud hole, but yet here I am. And you say, Lord, number two, God, I'm going to do something different. God, here's the change right here. I'm giving this place in my life, this decision, this area, I give it to you right now. What does God have the ability to do? See, a lot of people, they've painted, they've been in church when they was little kids, and they saw God painted in a way where God is not. See, God ain't busting up into your life and going to make you do something. That's not how God is. God's saying, now, I gave them a free will. They have a choice. That's why he says, Megan, now this day, what you going to choose? Are you going to choose a blessing or are you going to choose a curse? Are you going to choose life or are you going to choose death in this day? Because, see, the choice is up to you. You have a choice. But when you take an area of your life and you say, God, here it is. God, it's been my golden cow. God, it's been my idol. And God, I lay it all down right now, and I just give it to you. What does God have the legal right to do? He has the legal right to come in, to make adjustments, to make changes, to put his hand on something and bless it. And say, okay, now walk here. See, you was walking over there, and I'm telling you to walk over here. Amen. See, the word says, Diana, you'll hear a voice in the desert, and it's going to be crying out to you, and it's going to say, this is the way, now walk in it. See, we all have those times in our lives where we're like, oh, God, when am I getting out of this? As soon as you turn that over, turn it over. Be open to walk over here. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, and it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. There's three areas of God's will. One of these services, Brother Angelo needs to minister on those three areas. But here they are. His good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. Now, you can marry a good person. You can marry a pleasing person. Or you can just flat out marry the perfect person for you. Why are we talking about relationships? Well, because we are. That's what we're going to talk about. You put it in another situation. God, give me the job. Give me what you want. You can have God's goodwill. Good. It's okay. Pleasing. Or you can have his perfect will. What people need to understand about God's perfect will is this right here. God did not tell you in this life that everything is going to be easy. God did not tell you that everything was going to be easy. Jeremy and I both had opportunity to marry other people. We didn't. He'll be the first to tell you, it ain't always been easy. But we married what God told us to do. I remember the night I met him. We sat, Dairy Delight, in those old yellow booths, and we drank cherry Dr. Pepper till they kicked us out. And my sister had been telling me about this sweet Christian guy for months. And I said, I don't believe in sweet Christian guys because I ain't met one yet. Let me tell you something. If you hold out, if you hold out, I'm not just talking about relationships. If you hold out and you say, God, we come to this place. Every time there's something that always happens. See, God's waiting, and he's waiting for you to say, here we are. Here we are. Got to come down. He put his hand of favor. He say, okay, this time let it be different. That's what you want. But you got to do his will. You got to do his will. See, you ain't getting from point A to point Z and going to skip what he told you to do in between there. you just ain't going to do it. And it's going to turn out really jacked up. You ever gotten a really jacked up thing? You're like, oh, my God. Lord, this is really jacked up. I'm not sure how I'm getting out. Or if I am, God's saying, you really done a number on this one. But I'm going to help you because that's what I do. See, you need to do his will. His will. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 35. And it says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. See, some people in here, they've been doing what God's told them to do. And you're saying, God, when is this going to change? When is this going to happen for me? God's telling you right now, don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your hope. It's happening. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. We live in a world full of quitters. Look here. For once in your life, don't be a quitter. When you feel like walking away, take a moment and say, God, in this moment, I feel like quitting. I feel like walking away. I feel like really pulling a number. But God, I love you more than this bad day. God, I love you more than this season that's hard. So God, this is me right here doing your will. What does he do? Angel, he comes right up in there. He said, okay. Yes. You doing my will? I'm coming up into this situation. I'm going to put my will all up over it. People want all this stuff from God. Gimme, gimme, want, want. Look here. This is not the casino. This is life. So we have to handle life how we're supposed to handle it. How do we handle it? God, what you will. God, I'll do it. And so we see here, it says, you need to persevere so that when, everybody say when. When you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. If you ask in God, God, why have I not received what you promised? I want you to look back and I want you to see in your life, did you do what he told you to do? If the answer is yes, you need to hold on a minute. You need to persevere. If the answer is no, you need to go back in that part of your life and you need to do what he told you to do. Look here. You think you're going to get to Arkansas, to Missouri in some roundabout way? No. You're going to go here to there. You ain't going to skip what he told you to do. No, you're going to go, you're going to start from the beginning. You're going to get that place right. Why? Because God's making a masterpiece out of you. He's making a masterpiece. Nothing like anybody else has ever seen or heard. And when he builds, doesn't the potter have the right to do with the clay whatever he wants? Doesn't he have the right to build what he wants out of you? So you don't even know what makes you happy. You ever sit there? I sat there for 2 years one time and I said, God, when I get this, I'll be happy. Look here. The day I got it, I was the most maddest I'd been in a long time. Why? Because that wasn't a thing that was going to make me happy. Why? Because I don't know what's going to make me happy. That's how it is. We're fickle. We think something's going to make us happy and we have all this buildup and then when we get it, we're like, I still ain't happy. What's my problem? Well, your problem is you need to put your ears back and listen because, see, God will tell you some things and they're going to make you very happy. He wants you to do them. And it says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and he will not delay. Lots of people, they're living their life like they got all this time. Mama Brenda, if everybody that said, I go to Paris Christian Center, if they was here, we'd have to start today building another building. Don't be that person. Don't be that. do what God's told you to do and realize that when you're doing it, you're affecting other people and you're making somebody else's life better. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. This is not the time to shrink back. This corona hit, I thought, oh my God. Me and Jeremy looked at each other. I said, Jeremy, have we ever lived in a pandemic? Because I don't recall one. He said, nope. The last pandemic was some crazy, what was it? No, it was. All these crazy things, look here, they get closer together. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. It's the Spanish flu or something. Something strange. They have all these weird things. Jesus is coming back. Act like he's coming back today. Pattern your life like he's coming back today. Why? Because it could be the day. Get ready. Get ready. When he looks at your life, you want him to say, come in. You did good. Last place for me, 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 19. And it says here, so then, those who suffer according to God's will. We're going to go back to that place where I told you, look here, there are times, Krista, when we have done the will of God. And we're suffering because we did what God told us to do. There have been times where God called me to stand in some hard places and I wanted to fold because I did not think I could do it. I've had my days where I wanted to walk away. We all have that. We all have it. It's called the flesh. You know what you do? You get up and you make yourself do the right thing. You look for your next opportunity to do the right thing. Why? Because that's where Jesus is going to meet you at. Right up in the middle of you doing what you're supposed to. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do good. I don't know how you came in today. I don't know if you're in a place where you can recognize, God, I did not do your will in this area. God, I can see it now. Or you may be in here and you may say, God, I did what you told me to do. And God, I'm suffering in this moment of doing what you're telling me to do. But God, the commitment to you, it's still there. See, only you know where you are at. You and God. So I'm going to give you a moment. Search that heart. Figure out where you're at today. Have you had areas of your life you just simply will not turn it over? You hate the outcome. It happens every time. But you just won't turn it over because you still want to do what you want to do. Are you ready for change? Are you ready for change? Have you come to the end of that person? And can you say, I don't want to be that anymore. God, I've identified that area. God, I give you that area right now. God, I tell you right now to have your will. Have your will. God, reveal to me what that is. God, help me to be that sheep that hears your voice. God, help me be that sheep that follows your voice. See, what was today all about? Today was all about you recognizing if there's that area in your life and you say, God, I need to turn this over to you. I'm tired of this same thing happening every time. Every time. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand in faith. If it's not you, that's fine. If it's not you, that's fine. Because we're going to get to you here in a minute. If you're in this service and you say, God, I've searched this heart throughout this message. God, to the best of my ability, I've done your will. And God, I feel like I'm suffering right now in the middle of doing your will. And God, I commit to you even stronger. I'm going to ask that person to stand. Why? Because, see, there's all different types of people, and God wants to get you. He wants to meet you in a place today. Lord God, in Jesus' name, y'all begin to call out to God, begin to talk to God. Tell him that place. Place it in your heart. God, this is the area. God, I give it to you, and I want you to begin to lift that area up to him. Why? Because, see, he wants to have control of it. His ways are higher than your ways. If you'll turn them over, he's going to make something that you never even thought. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, you see every person, Lord, that's standing. God, they've reacted to your word. They've responded to your word. Now, God, I thank you that that word that was planted in them today, God, it goes out and it seeps into the parts of their life, God, where they need a change right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you're helping every person in here, that you're reaching out to them right now. God, where there's been an unrest, Lord, I ask for peace right now. God, where there's been suffering, I ask right now, God, that you would give us some beauty for them ashes, some strength for the fear, some gladness and some joy. God, that joy that I read about to those kids this past week, Lord, I ask that you'd put joy in them hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you all stand? We're going to pray a blessing. We have some more produce and stuff. If you didn't get enough on Wednesday, we've got some. I want to encourage y'all to come and hear Pastor Jeremy on Sunday night. As he said, we have church services other than Sunday morning. I know y'all love me, but you know what? You'll love Pastor Jeremy even more than me. I'm going to ask you to be faithful to your church. Be faithful to the place God's called you and planted you. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for each child here that you've got today. Lord, I ask that you'd bless them. God, I ask that you'd keep them. God, I ask that you'd make your face shine upon them, God, so bright, Lord, that everybody knows that it's you. And God, I thank you for breakthrough and blessing in this week, God, in Jesus' name, amen.